As I said last week, we have two lectures on ancient Rome. And my lectures on Rome last week and the lecture this week, basically the information corresponds to information that you're reading in chapter 6 and 7. Now, there's a lot of other civilizations talked about in chapter 6 and 7, especially ancient Greece to be exact. However, with this lecture and with the lectures for these two chapters, chapter 6 and 7, I'm only concentrating on Rome. And as you'll see after listening to the lecture today, I'm only even talking about a small piece of Roman life. So last week when I did my lecture, I talked about I gave you like a broad overview of Rome, and I talked about its three distinct phases. When it was governed by kings, when it was a republic, and when it was an empire. Imperial Rome, if you will. With this lecture, I really want to just concentrate on the days of the republic. And for all of the lectures I do from here on in, I'm going to be talking about particular aspects of a civilization. Remember, there are five key aspects of a civilization. Record keeping, advanced workers, or specialized workers, advanced cities, complex institutions, and advanced technology. I almost forgot, so let me say this again. Advanced technology, specialized workers, advanced cities, complex institutions, and as we all know, that's things like government, education, the religious system, etc., and record keeping. Those are our five key characteristics that make up a civilization. From here on in, we'll be talking about civilizations. Most of my lectures will focus on one of those key characteristics. So with this lecture, I'm talking about complex institutions, primarily the role of government during the days of the Roman Republic. So let me just give you a little bit of background on the Roman Republic. In 509-510 BCE, before the Common Era, the Romans overthrew the Etruscan king, Tarquin, and established a republic. The Etruscans lived in a place which was situated just north of Rome, and they basically ruled for quite a while. But in 509-510 BCE, the Etruscan king, in the ruling dynasty of the Tarquinis, was overthrown, and a republic was started. So I really need to define for you what a republic means. In a republic, all the citizens with the right to vote choose their leaders. It's a government without a king or a queen. In a republic, supreme power rests with the citizens who have the right to vote to select their leaders, who represent the people and rule in their name. In Rome, citizenship with voting rights was granted only to free-born male citizens. Now, the Roman Republic lasted 500 years. Now, during this 500-year period of time, the Republic did not stay the same. It constantly evolved. So, the rights and privileges granted to people living in the Roman Republic varied according to the particular time period they were living in. Because remember, it lasted for 500 years. In the early days of the Republic, there were fewer rights and benefits granted to the lower classes. This, however, will change through time. Now, the leaders of the Roman Republic in the early days were called aristocrats. So the leaders of the Roman Republic in the early days were aristocrats. And they all came from the class of wealthy landowners called patricians. Right below the patricians were the rural gentry. They were wealthy and prosperous businessmen and merchants. The gentry, and that's spelled G-E-N-T-R-Y, the gentry were also known as the equestrians. E-Q-U-E-S-T-R-I-A-N-S. And the gentry or the equestrians would not normally national politics, as did the patricians, because members of the Senate, and that was the governing body in Rome during the days of the Republic, because members of the Senate in the early days were not allowed to accept public contracts or to engage in overseas trade. Originally, many of the gentry had been of the military class, and they were called knights, meaning men who were rich enough to buy a horse for a military campaign. Now, in the early days, and again, I'm talking about the very early stages of the Republic, the Senate was a 300-member council of patricians. And in this early time, the Senate was the most powerful part of the government of the Republic. In the Senate, Rome's most influential citizens debated and decided such important issues as Rome's finances and foreign affairs. Most senators held other high government positions. They believed that they honored themselves and their families by serving Rome. Every year, the Senate chose two consuls, or officials, from their own class to administer the laws of Rome. A popular assembly elected by the plebeian class, which is the lower classes, approved the choice of consuls, but the consuls really had little real power. Basically, consuls were, and the spelling is on your slide, consuls were patricians who ran the government and led the army. Since they only held office for a year, there was little risk that they would gain too much power. However, a year sometimes isn't a lot of time to get work done. The consuls would keep each other in check by using the power to veto or reject proposals and acts. And the word veto in Latin means I forbid. Now, appointing a dictator. In times of crisis, the Senate would appoint a dictator who had absolute power, but he could only hold office for 6 months. And they did this so as to not allow any one person to take control and basically dissolve the Republic, which eventually will happen. Now I want to spend just a minute or two talking about the lower classes of people. The patricians were the wealthy upper class. Well, the lower classes were called the plebeians. Now I've heard this pronounced many different ways. I will be pronouncing it the plebeians. The plebeians were the common people, including farmers, artisans, small merchants, and traders. In the early days of the Republic, for this class, living standards were very low and uncertain. And the struggle to fight against poverty was just unremitting. People of this lower class, really had a tough road to try to eke out an existence. Now, you're going to really see a change through time for the common people, for the plebeian class. Their life will get much better as the Republic grows and matures. But in the early days, their life was very harsh. Basically, competition for jobs was fierce. Though they were citizens and could own their own land, plebeians could not hold public office or marry into patrician families. Again, this is going to be in the early days of the Republic. In the latter days of the Republic, the plebeian class could hold public office, but not in the early days. Remember, history is a study of change over time or lack of change over time. And what we see with the Roman Republic is that we do have change over time. We see this complex institution of the government actually evolving to meet the needs of its citizenry. So in the early days, Roman law prohibited the plebeian class from holding public office or marrying into the patrician families. They basically had little say in their government. They basically struggled for more rights for about 200 years. In the early days of the Republic, most common people were farmers who worked on small plots of land. Later, as the Roman Empire expanded, as the Roman Republic expanded, its economy grew to include manufacturing and commerce. And this common plebeian class would be engaged in those jobs as well. In this image that I put on this slide, it's an etching of a Roman farmer taking his goods to town. And as he's doing this, he passes by a shrine to the gods, and he'd stop to acknowledge the gods. And remember, at this early time, Christianity had not made its way into the Roman Empire as yet. Farmers in the early days of the Republic would have sold olive oil, grain, vegetables, fruits, meats, and herbs in nearby markets.